Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and today we're going to be talking about forms of meditation and prayer, sort of a menu for creating the sort of optimal mix for you. Everybody's different, and different forms of meditation and prayer can work for different people at different stages in your life. So what works for you today won't necessarily be the perfect or optimal form next year. So it helps to have a menu that you can pick from. And we're going to be talking about a wide variety of different types of prayer, different types of meditation that you could pick from and put them together and make what works for you. Before we get started today, a big shout out to our listeners in San Francisco, California. Thank you for this connection. It is so nice to have you aboard. If you have questions, thoughts, ideas, something I can help you with along your journey, click the link that's in the show notes. It'll take you over to the community page at the website. We'll scroll down a little bit. There's a form right there. You can send in any questions you may have. If you want to remain anonymous, let me know. We can make that happen. Either way, I will get back to you with some practical thoughts and ideas that might help. Okay, so meditation and prayer. Let's talk about the difference a little bit. Prayer is often thought of as a form of ingratiating the divine, of asking the divine for what you want or maybe for some guidance. And it's often thought of as a little bit of a one-way street. You're talking to the divine. You're talking to God, Jesus, Allah, communing with the Tao, whatever it is. Meditation is often thought of as being just purely silent, which although that's the goal, not necessarily the case. You can also use that for asking for what you want. But it does include a lot of listening for the answer. And I find this to be two sides of the same coin that are very important. It's important when you have a relationship, a connection with the divine, you want this to be a two-way interaction where you are speaking to the divine or asking for guidance, asking for assistance, but that you also have a period of time where you're quiet and letting the divine speak to you, right? I come from the South, where extraordinarily long and involved prayers, especially before meals, are the norm. I think the record for one that I had was in the presence of was an hour long. Meanwhile, the food was getting cold, but that's a story for another time. But in all of that, hour-long Southern prayer, there never was an opportunity for God to get a word in edgewise. So my point is, it's important that at some portion of your prayer or meditation routine that you basically shut up and let the divine speak to you. So it needs to be a two-way street. So let's talk about some techniques, because there are a lot of ways that you can make that happen. There's so many different forms of meditation and prayer to try. So you may have grown up in a particular religion or reciting specific prayers. We'll talk about that. There's no need to abandon that, but consider adding in some new styles with that, right? So if you have a favorite form of meditation or prayer already, think about adding in some new techniques, experimenting with some new styles and techniques to find the one that's right for you. Because remember, the one that's right for you may not be right for anybody else. And what's right for you will change over time. So it helps to refer back to a menu. So let's talk about the different types. And this is just a start. Add your own variations as you find them. So we'll start with forms of prayer. The first one I want to talk about are specific prayers for specific occasions. These might be specific prayers said the same way every time. Maybe it's before a meal, or it's certain prayers that you use in your church or your synagogue or your temple, whatever it is, every time. And These can be a great way to ease people into the idea. It's often used to ease children into the idea of prayers, because a lot of people say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, we'll just say this. Say these words. Say it the same way every time. It's a great way to get started. On the downside of specific prayers, when you say the same words over and over again, you can fall into a pattern of just going through the motions, where you're just saying the words to say the words, because this is the time when we say the words. And they lose meaning. They're no longer providing meaning and connection between you and the divine. It's just you're doing the thing because this is when we do the thing. So you want to be careful not to fall into that trap, that when you do recite specific prayers for specific occasions, that you put the meaning into it. Feel it. Feel the words. Focus on the words to actually help you create that connection with the divine. Now, one thing that most people don't try when it comes to these specific prayers, most people just take in the ones that they were handed, that they learned as they were growing up. But you can actually make your own as well. So if there's a particular situation that happens to you a lot and you would like to have a prayer for it, make one up and use it every time. Put the meaning into it and it will have meaning. So that's the first idea. So another type of prayer could just be sending gratitude, or gratitude prayer. So in a gratitude prayer, you connect with the divine and you give thanks for everything wonderful in your life. And you might speak it out loud, or you might just say it in your mind, but you feel the gratitude in your heart and send that gratitude to the divine. Remember, the point here is to connect with the divine and have a two-way conversation. So what do you want to say to the divine? Well, one thing you might want to say is thank you. Right, and to have gratitude for everything that's good in your life. That's something you can do. But the key there will be, of course, to feel the gratitude, right? Not just say the gratitude, feel it and send it intentionally to the divine. And that's a gratitude prayer. Another form of great form of prayer would be asking. You're asking for something. Don't feel bad about asking for what you want, obviously, unless what you want is illegal, immoral, or otherwise something that you probably should feel bad about. In general, if what you're asking for is to forward your purpose, better your life, etc., don't feel bad about that. So in an asking prayer, you want to connect with the divine to make a request. You're asking for what you want. And what you want may be guidance, assistance with a decision, or it might be a new job opportunity or whatever it is. But you can make that connection with the divine and make a request. Now, here's the key. When you ask for what you want, you then need to give away, let go of your desire for that thing. Right? Give it over to the divine, trusting that the divine will deliver it if it's in your best interests. And this is tough, right? The Christians will always say, let go and let God. And every religion has some form of that same phrase, that same thing. And when you find the exact same thing repeating over and over again in every single religion and philosophy of the world, you know there's something to it. So this is the key. Ask for what you want, and then, like dropping a penny into a wishing well, give away, drop your desire for it, knowing that it'll be fulfilled if it's in your best interest. So that's an asking style of prayer. Then there's contemplation. Contemplation is... this is kind of neat. This is a very rarely used form of prayer, but can be really neat to experiment with. Contemplation is kind of like, think of it like book club with God. So in a contemplation prayer, you want to quietly contemplate a thought or a question or a quote from your favorite religious text or some other text. And normally you might sit there and contemplate this question or this quote or this thought on your own, but in a contemplation prayer, you're going to contemplate it together with the divine. So when, and I can feel it right now, you're asking, well, what am I saying to the divine if I contemplate this? So in this case, what you might be asking, the divine, what does this mean for me? This quote caught my attention. What does it mean for me? And just think on it quietly together. Or you might, so it's usually about meaning when you're doing a contemplation prayer. And the insight and the guidance tends to come during this type of prayer. And it might be mostly because in a contemplation prayer, you're generally quiet, right? Which gives the divine an opportunity to talk back. So those are four really good types of prayer to try. So let's review those. We had specific prayers for specific occasions. These are recited the same way every time. And remember that you can make your own. We have a gratitude prayer, an asking prayer, and a contemplation prayer. And you could mix these up every single day, just kind of depending on what you need. All right, so let's talk now about forms of meditation. There are so many forms of meditation that are worth exploring. If you just search on types of meditation, research each one for more detail and kind of make your own based on the categories I'm about to give you. There's a lot of them out there. And feel free to combine methods into each session. So for example, you might begin by focusing on your breath, and then once you're a little more relaxed, focus on the silence, and then ask for guidance, and then end with sort of a manifestation exercise. You can mix and match all these forms of prayer and meditation. So the first category of meditation I want to talk about is clearing the mind by focusing on something else. Clearing the mind is always the big idea, but how you do that can come in a dozen different ways. So let's talk about clearing the mind by focusing on something else. You could clear the mind by focusing on a word or a sound. This is transcendental meditation, where you have a particular word or a particular sound. Might be one syllable or two syllables or three syllables. It's usually pretty short. And you repeat it often out loud, but sometimes just in your head, over and over and over and over and over and over and over. So you're in focusing on this word or sound, you are not focusing on your thoughts, right? It's a method of occupying the mind. And in that sense, getting the mind to stop that tornado of thoughts. Okay, you could clear the mind by focusing on your breathing, the sound of your breathing. It's a lot like ocean waves, and you can exaggerate that a little bit. So you could focus, you could clear the mind by focusing on your breathing. Again, you're making the mind focus on something else. You could clear the mind by focusing on specific places within the body and how they feel. This could be called a body scan meditation or a somatic meditation, where you're kind of thinking, you know, from the top down or the bottom up, you're thinking, you know, oh, what does this part of my body feel like? Maybe you have some soreness there, or some tightness or some pain, or you can think about physically what is the body feeling in these different areas. And that's another interesting kind of thing to focus on. Or you could focus on what is happening in and around you in this moment. So this would be a mindfulness meditation. But you can actually do this with your eyes open. So if meditation is particularly challenging for you, one place that's great for beginners is to start with an eyes open mindfulness meditation where you're looking around the room and just seeing what's there and very intently focusing on the details of what's in the room and the texture of the objects in the room and the size of them and the way the light reflects off of them. You get really detailed. And that can be a great way to start. If you have trouble settling into a meditation, that kind of eyes open mindfulness meditation, looking around you, naming things in the room, is another way to kind of settle in and really bring it down. And so that's how you can clear the mind by focusing on something else. So that was a word or a sound or your breathing or specific places in your body or the stuff in the room around you. The second type of meditation we'll talk about is focusing on the silence. Now, this is the ultimate goal of most forms of meditation, is to get to a point where the mind is completely silent. And it can be challenging to achieve, really, really challenging to achieve. So it helps to warm up by focusing on something else first, such as your breath. And then when the mind is more calm, rest in the silence. And this is usually when the answers and the guidance come, when your mind is quiet. So feel free to ask the universe, ask the divine, what you want to know, such as how to solve a challenge or the answer to a particular question. It's a great time to ask when you're focusing on the silence. But be aware that focusing on the silence is an advanced form of meditation. And by that, I mean, if you have never meditated before, don't expect to be focused on the silence for 2 hours. It will be very challenging, right? If you've never run a day in your life, don't expect to be an Olympian tomorrow. This is a practice and a skill that you're going to build up over time. So if you have never really meditated much before, I would really bring it down in steps. Start by looking around the room at what's there. Start with a mindfulness meditation. Then maybe focus on the breath, right? Bring it internal. Focus on the breath or different parts of the body and then the breath. And then bring it down further, you know, and rest in the silence. Focus on the silence, listen. That can be another way to help kind of meditate on the silence, is think of it as listening, actively listening in the silence for something. But step it down and practice. If you managed 10 seconds of actual mindful silence, that would be awesome, right? And just kind of work your way up. But don't expect it to come immediately. This is a skill that you're going to build up. Okay, so the next type of meditation I want to talk about is manifesting. Asking for what you want is what it is, right? How is this different from prayers? It's not. It's not different from prayers at all. If you want to call it an asking prayer, you want to call it a manifestation meditation, all good. Same thing. So there's two different methods of manifesting meditations I want to talk about. The first is called Samayama, S-A-M-Y-A-M-A. And this was written by Yogani, who has a series of small short books that are kind of a really neat read. So that's Yogani, Y-O-G-A-N-I. And in a Samayama meditation, you think of what you want, be it a person, place, thing, job, opportunity, whatever. And then you take your desire for it and you drop it into the infinite silence inside you. So in this case, the divine is inside you, which is a concept that I vehemently support. And you think of it kind of like a wishing well inside you, and you drop the penny in there. And you let go. Again, you're giving over your need for it, giving over your desire for it, and drop it into the silence like a penny into a well, knowing that if it forwards your purpose, it will, of course, be granted. So this is not a whole lot different than an asking prayer where you give over your need for it to the divine. So the difference is when we're in a prayer, we often see the divine as outside of us and we're connecting out to the divine. And in a meditation, we see the divine as inside of us and we're connecting inwardly to that. So it just depends on how best it works for you to think of that. Another type of manifestation meditation you can do is feeling-based. That's where you imagine how it feels to already have the thing you want. And I don't mean imagine how it feels that moment of excitement when you get the thing you want. I'm talking about how it feels after this thing is in your life and it's been in your life for a while and you're enjoying the benefits of this thing in your life. And that's a feeling-based manifestation. You sort of visualize it lightly in the back of, towards the back of your head. And that's very effective as well, especially for things, if you're trying to manifest things. Okay, so beyond manifestation meditations, let's talk about loving kindness. Loving kindness is a meditation where you send good wishes, where you wish good things for. You send love, you send kindness, you send good wishes to yourself. Sounds easy, right? I dare you. Try it. It's harder than it sounds. To yourself, to the people you love. You send good wishes to your friends and your family. You send good wishes to people you just kind of know, acquaintances, and you work your way out. Neighbors and people that you don't like. People who have wronged you in some way. And then even further out, to the whole world, to the whole universe, you can really work your way out. And this is very, very challenging. It sounds, you know, if you've never done this sort of thing before, it can sound, oh, that's all just fluffy, hippie nonsense. Well, I challenge you, if you think it's so easy, sit quietly. And the first challenge is to love yourself. To send love and kindness to yourself. And if you're not very far along on the roadmap yet, this can be extraordinarily challenging. Why? Because you haven't yet developed the capacity to see your own humanity. And that's why this is hard. It's usually pretty easy to send love and good wishes to people we care about. Certain members of your family, certain friends, that's easy. Co-workers, still pretty easy. But when it gets to sending love and kindness to people you don't really like or people who have wronged you, how about political figures that are on the other side of the aisle from you? Give that a go. Let me know how it goes. But the good thing about it is it develops you into a kinder person. And this can be another great way to start meditation if you're having trouble quieting the mind, right? Then you can think of a series of different people and send them kindness. All right, the last category of meditation I want to talk about is guided meditation. Guided meditation was really useful for me when I was first getting started. And there are many wonderful meditations out there. They're guided meditations, which are led by trained teachers who guide you through what to do. So if you're not yet ready to meditate on your own, try seeking a guided meditation. There are meditation apps. There are guided meditations on your favorite streaming service. There are podcasts with guided meditations. Go and seek it out. It's easy enough to find. Find a guided meditation voice that works for you. Some people will respond better to a more feminine voice, and some people respond better to a more masculine voice, or maybe it depends on the day. But guided meditations are a wonderful way to be walked through by a professional in guiding a meditation. And they are often on specific subjects. So these might be very pinpointed meditations on letting go of knowing, or on breaking the trance of unworthiness, or very sort of specific things. And that's another good reason to use guided meditation. If there's a specific issue that you're working on, that you're having a little trouble with, there might be a guided meditation out there that would be perfect for it. Okay, so those are various forms of meditation. We have clearing the mind by focusing on something else, like a word or sound or breathing or the body or the room. We have focusing on the silence. We have a couple of different types of manifestation. We have loving kindness and guided meditations. The key here is to make it your own. If you're religious, you can combine prayer and meditation techniques to feel more connected to the divine and to nurture your relationship with the divine. And has a wonderful effect of connecting you to your faith. If you're spiritual but not religious, you can combine these techniques for that same connection to the divine outside of institutionalized religion. And if you're neither spiritual nor religious, you can still learn to quiet the mind and connect to the universe and all the answers that it has to offer. So you can read about a lot of interesting meditation techniques, and I recommend that you do. But don't think that you have to follow each one to infinite detail. And that's why I've presented them here in such generality, because playing with techniques and combining techniques and experimenting to find the right combination of prayer and meditation for you is the important thing. And remember that that optimal combination will morph over time. It certainly has for me. But the key in all of this is to quiet the mind, to simply sit down, shut up, and listen. That's what it really comes down to. Now, how you get to that state of a quiet, listening mind is not really important. It's the practice of getting there that matters. And that's what will bring you the most benefit. And I find this really liberating. So developing your own ceremony or ritual or routine that's optimized for your own benefit will play a major role in accelerating your evolution through the stages toward complete connection with every aspect of your life. So there's a menu for you that you can come back to again and again. That'll obviously be in the book, which comes out pretty soon. So there's a big announcement for you. There's a book coming. I'm very excited about the stages, and it's going to have this menu in it and a lot of other really cool things. So I'll keep you posted on that as it comes. So thanks for joining me here today. I think that's more than enough for today to think about. I'm going to put together an experiment for yourself, something to try. Remember to keep a journal on your phone or on paper. It doesn't matter, but write down what your results are for this so you can really create the most optimal routine for you. All right, remember to send in your questions. Use the link right here in the show notes and let me know what questions you have as you try this and how I can help. And as always, I'm wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.